The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What is the biblical meaning of eternal life? Does eternal mean unending, or is it talking more about the unending quality or the unending fullness of it? This may seem an unnecessary question, but let's talk about it. Thank you for joining us today on Grace in Focus. This is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Learn more about us at our website, faithalone.org. There are hundreds of articles on that site and other resources that you may be interested in about the free grace message. And you can find out about our online seminary, GES Seminary, right there on the website, faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and David Renfro.
All right, David, I've got a question here from someone named Chris. And Chris has read a forum at something called Quora. I think it's Quora.com. Mm-hmm. And someone on this forum suggested that in Koine Greek, the word aionios in eternal life, zoein means life, and aionios means for the ages, or in the context when those two are put together, it means eternal life. But someone at this Quora forum says, no, that's not right. It actually has no connection in time, as in ongoing and unending. And this person at the Quora forum says it begins at the new birth, and it reflects a quality, not a quantity. Okay, so and I've heard this before, you've probably heard it before, where people say, well, eternal life, a lot of people say it's both unending and something that's capable of great fullness. Like, I've come that you have life, and you may have it more abundantly. But this person says, no, no, it's just that fullness possibility. But then the person says this, which I don't understand. See if you understand this, David. It is not speaking of endless life. It is speaking of unbreakable, inseparable, and unseverable relationship.
Oh, that doesn't speak everlasting at all, does it?
No, no. Wait a minute. If it's unbreakable, then it's permanent.
That implies that it is everlastingly unbreakable, right?
If it's inseparable, you're never going to be separated. If it's unseverable, you're never going to be severed. Like he says, he who comes to me, I'll never cast out, right?
Right.
And so I don't get what this Quora forum is. It should be chloroform.
I think you're right.
Right? Yeah. Because I don't get this. But then on page two, it's a long comment, but on page two, the person goes on to say, and this isn't Chris that's asking the question, this is the person in the Quora forum. This person says, there is no eternal life without repentance, one, two, genuine faith, three, true discipleship, and four, submission to Jesus as Lord. Say what?
Oh, that fits perfectly within the GES framework. No, it doesn't.
Doesn't this fit John 3:16? Oh. I mean, you see all that in John 3:16.
Well, John 6:47 says, you know, he who believes in me has everlasting life.
Okay, so he who believes in me has everlasting life. So where's repentance there?
Well, see,
you
this is
sneak it in.
This is the question I'm starting to have with some of these questions and other things that I hear from other theologians. Is I'm asking the question, why isn't what Jesus says good enough?
I like that. Could you write a book or give me a magazine article on that?
I'll do it.
Why isn't what Jesus said good, especially when it comes to salvation?
Why do we need theologians and systematic theology professors to include other stuff into what Jesus said? That's what I get. And it just bothers me a lot that people, they're not, for some reason, they're not happy with what Jesus says. You know, he says, you believe in me, you have everlasting life.
Yeah, and these other things he mentions, it doesn't say anything about genuine faith. It just says, he who believes in me.
Right.
Not genuine. I mean, that leads to so much confusion for perfectionists and obsessive people like me.
Well, it's also relative.
Well, what's genuine faith? Yeah, it's very relative and subjective.
I mean, does it mean that you get some little warm fuzzy in your heart? Or I mean,
oh yes, a liver quiver, or what do the Mormons call it? The burning bosom,
yeah.
Right?
Something like that.
But
yeah.
A lot of people have it. And he also says true discipleship. If that were true, if there's no eternal life apart from true discipleship, well, then you wouldn't have everlasting life until you had persisted in discipleship, right?
There's a lot of implications there. True discipleship, to me, it almost communicates perfectionism.
It does.
That I decide to be the Lord's disciple, meaning I'm going to follow him no matter what. But because of my sinful nature, I'm going to fail sometime.
Yes.
Does that mean I lose it all?
Either this person's saying you lose it, even though before he said it's unbreakable, inseparable, and unseverable. But either you would say you lose it, or you'd say you never had it in the first place, one or the other. And this person also says you have to submit to Jesus as Lord. Well, you don't see that in John 6:47 or 3:16 or 5:24 or
no.
Ephesians 2:8-9.
No.
Or, you know, any of these other texts.
So where does he get that all of that is required?
That's from Dr. Puba.
Or Dr. Goober.
Dr. Goober. I have a friend, he talks about Gumby theology.
Gumby.
And he says it's very flexible.
Exactly.
And it just blows with the wind of church history or with Dr. So-and-so or this Dr. So-and-so. You don't really go to the scriptures. So, look, Chris, I would say stick with the scriptures. And by the way, I've looked at this Quora forum before because when I'm looking up to see what other people say, that often comes up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't find it particularly helpful because anybody can say anything in those forums.
Sure.
Yeah, you get some helpful things in there, but you get a lot of things that are confusing, like what Chris found.
You are invited to subscribe to the Grace Evangelical Society's YouTube channel. You will find our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday videos there, enlightening and encouraging, and even probably humorous at times if you like Bob Wilkins' humor. Indeed, you will get biblical truth about free grace themes like faith alone for eternal salvation and why the Grace Evangelical Society is zero-point Calvinistic. We come your way 3 times a week at the Grace Evangelical YouTube channel. Check it out and tell a friend about the Grace Evangelical Society.
That is a theological mess. If you go through that email, just the part that you just read, to me, he's contradicting himself.
Yes.
And also, he doesn't give any definitions. Like, I remember being in Dr. Ryrie's class at seminary, and he would always go, somebody would use a theological term, and he'd go, what do you mean by that?
Yeah.
But that was good training.
It was good.
Because if you're going to use a technical term, define what you're talking about. You know, make it to where a 10-year-old can understand it.
Yeah, Dr. Ryrie was particularly adept at making things clear.
He was.
You know, I've strived in my own life to follow that pattern. Zane Hodges, too. Very, very clear, simple, easy to understand,
mm-hmm.
even if it's a complicated subject. What's happened today in evangelicalism is we've made the simple complicated. Right. Believing in Jesus is as simple as believing in Jesus for what he promises.
Oh, no, it's too simple, okay?
Yeah, then they call that easy believism.
We have to add a bunch of stuff to make it substantial. They apparently think that just to believe is not strong enough.
Not hard enough.
No.
They call it cheap grace.
Cheap.
Oh. I still remember Dr. Stanley. Charles Stanley used to say, look, it's not cheap. It's free for us.
Yeah.
Absolutely free. It's not a bargain.
No.
It's free.
It's not at a garage sale.
No. It's not like you get a $20,000 car for $1,000.
Right.
It's like you get a $20,000 car for free.
Free.
Except it's better than a $20,000. It's better than a Bugatti.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't a Bugatti a really nice car? I think so.
Well, for me it would be, yeah.
My first car was a Maverick. But anyway, the point is, what Dr. Stanley said is, look, free to us, but very costly for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
He shed his blood. He had to die in order for us to receive the free gift of everlasting life. So he said, there's nothing cheap about the grace of God.
Nothing at all.
He paid it all. That's why we talk about the finished work of Christ. You know, a lot of people, they will actually say, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. He's finished it. So if you turn from your sins and submit your life to him and follow him in discipleship, then you're going to get everlasting life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then the work of Jesus isn't really finished,
no.
And it's not really by faith in Jesus. Now it's by something else.
But what if you, see, that's what gets me. What if you fail at some point in your Christian life? And some people I've heard, well, if you just confess your sins. Well, what if you sin and you don't remember doing that, and you don't confess, and you're at the end of your life? Where are you going to go?
Ken Yates and I have both been doing on our Grace Evangelical Society YouTube channel. And by the way, if y'all aren't checking that out, just go to YouTube / Grace Evangelical Society, and you can see we put out 6 to 10 minute videos on Mondays and Fridays. And lately we've been doing a series of videos from a documentary film called Once Saved, Always Saved? And the scholars who believe that Once Saved, Always Saved is false doctrine and it's dangerous doctrine, they go through exactly what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
They will say, yes, we can lose our salvation. They even talk about 1 John 1:9 and say, if we don't confess our sins, we lose our salvation. But it was funny, one of the men in the documentary, Pastor Joe Schimmel, he realized how harsh I think that sounded. So he said, look, we're not saying that if you commit one sin and fail to confess that one sin, you're going to be going to hell.
Why not?
Yeah. He said, oh, no, it's got to be apostasy, which he defined as rebellion, ongoing rebellion against God. But in the documentary, they did say, the previous people said, if you miss a sin,
you're doomed.
You're doomed. It was like a light switch. Saved, lost, saved, lost. You can turn it on, turn it off all the time. Ultimately, in the course of a given day, you could be saved and lost multiple times.
20 times, yeah.
So it's vitally important that we recognize that everlasting life is everlasting. In fact, Dr. Ryrie, one of his favorite sayings, do you remember this? If everlasting life could be lost, then it what?
It wasn't everlasting.
It wasn't everlasting. It had the wrong name.
That's right.
Because it's called everlasting life because it's
everlasting life.
And this is simple milk of the word truth.
And taking the word of God at face value.
Amen.
You know, rather than adding a bunch of theological stuff to it.
A hooey gooey pooey.
You are so eloquent sometimes.
I know, right. In the meantime, let's keep grace in focus.
Would you be interested in some free ebooks on topics you hear on this program? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, very important, please let us know your radio station call letters and the city of your location. On the next episode, what is the difference between repentance and faith, especially in Romans 7? Please join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.